The Bible said in 2 John verse 12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write unto you with paper and ink. That reminds me of something. We were little, and Mom and Dad were talking about going to school, and they said, I asked them if they chiseled on a rock. So here in the first century, they already had ink and paper. Amen. So I guess Mom and Dad made it okay with the ink and paper. But I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. We brought to your attention this morning that John, in 1 John chapter number 1, he used the little phrase, that your joy might be full. And then he included himself when he used the phrase, that our joy may be full. We're going to go to the book of Psalms tonight. We're going to be backwards and forwards in the book of Psalms. And you might want to just write the references down. I don't think if I get through this tonight, you'll have time to look them all up. Maybe you could just write the references down. And Brother Gary, I'm not saying this to toot your horn, but I don't know how many times I've called you on a Monday morning and you was going back over what we did on Sunday. And Brother Gary might be a little bit like me. It just takes a little while to soak it all up. Amen. There was a girl I used to pastor in Wise. Her name was Amanda. And I'm not going to tell you what color her hair was. You'll guess after a while. But anyway, they said that Amanda would be sitting at the dinner table on Tuesday and all of a sudden just bust out laughing. And her mom would say, what's the matter with you? She said, I just got what the preacher said Sunday morning. Everybody else laughed Sunday morning, but she got it on Tuesday evening. Amen. Better late than never. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your people. And Lord, I consider them my people. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll bless us together. Help us to sit together tonight in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to run through some verses tonight. If you want to go back to the book of Psalms, go start with Psalms verse 130, or chapter 132 and verse 9. And I'm going to talk about some things that ought to help us to be full of joy. I realize that as the Christmas season comes, there are ladies that have buried their husbands, husbands that have buried their wives, families that have buried their children. And I understand that there are burdens. And I understand that some even have children that are they're bearing a burden as they live. But I believe that if anybody in the world, Brother Ralph, the choir was singing about the greatest story that's ever been told. We're going to meet our loved ones again because of this story. And it's a true story. It's the story of Jesus. And I think if anybody in the world ought to have a fullness of joy, especially at this season, it ought to be God's people. I remind you of this. I've probably said this in your hearing before. Maybe someone here tonight has not heard it. But a preacher said years ago, there's three books in the Bible that God's people should frequent. In other words, frequently read from those three books. He said the first book is the book of Proverbs. He said Proverbs was written that we might have wisdom. And I believe there's a lot of wisdom to be gleaned from the book of Proverbs. He said, then we ought to read the book of Acts. He said the book of Acts will keep us reminded of what the New Testament church is supposed to be, what we're here for. And Brother Steve was talking about the bags that Miss Emily's getting ready, and they'll have gospel tracts, and hopefully you guys that's driving them fancy cars will have some candy and things to throw out on the sidewalk. Everybody except Brother John, he'll eat it. Amen. But have some good candy to throw out there to them youngins in the parade and stuff like that. But we ought to be trying our best to be a blessing to the community around us. So we ought to have joy. But then the Bible talked about in the New Testament church, they were reaching others. But then This preacher said there's another book that we should frequent, and he said that's the book of Psalms. And this is what he said about the book of Psalm. He said, the Psalms will keep your heart sweet. And I don't know about you, beloved, but I'm telling you that in the world we live in, I mean, if you watch the news, if you read any news, if you listen to the prayer requests, if you see the burdens that people are living under, if you're not careful, you'll lose that sweetness in your heart. Amen. And the book of Psalms was written primarily by that man that was a man after God's own heart, by the psalmist David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And so that's why I'm looking to the Psalms tonight. And I think there's 161 references to joy in the Word of God in different verses. We're not going to look at all of them tonight. We're just going to look in the book of Psalms for a little while. First of all, in Psalm 132 and verse number 9, the Bible said, let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. In Psalm 132 and verse 16, it said, I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. I believe there ought to be joy in the children of God's hearts because of the pardon that you and I have experienced at Calvary. I mean, we've been forgiven. I mean, God took our sin away and then gave us the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't get any better than that. Amen. He took away everything that I deserved and turned right around and gave me everything that I did not deserve. The songwriter said he took me out of nothing and he gave me everything. Amen. As a third century man was anticipating his death, he penned these last words to a friend. He said, it's a bad world, an incredibly bad world, but I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and a holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are Christians. And he said, I'm one of them. Amen. And he found out that God's people had something. Amen. And I believe, listen, that the better way to say that is God's people have someone. They have the Lord Jesus that will never leave us and never forsake us. And there ought to be joy due to his pardon. Just the other day, Sister Joy sent me a text. And she said, it's Marge and Jim's birthday. And I knew what she meant by that, because surely they wasn't born on the same day, but they were born again on the same day. And Brother Joe used to sing a song, I can't remember how it goes, but happy birthday, but he said, just one birth will not do. You have to have another birth in order to go to heaven, amen, and thank God for his pardon, how that ought to bring joy unspeakable to our hearts and to our lives. And then there ought to be joy due to his protection. Look in Psalms 5:11. The Bible said, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Aren't you glad tonight? Listen, I used to like to watch them lawyer movies, Perry Mason. They said he never lost a case. I'm glad I have an advocate seated at the right hand of God the Father that's never lost a case. Amen. And he's there to defend you and I. And beloved, that ought to bring great joy to our hearts. Joy in his pardon, joy in his protection, but joy in his presence. Look at Psalm 16, verse number 11. The Bible said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You've heard me use the phrase before, get sideways with God. How many's ever heard me say that before? Sometimes we get sideways with one another and get sideways with God. Well, Brother Steve, as I examine my life, every time that I've gotten sideways with my Lord, it was because there was a time when I stopped coming into his presence and enjoying his presence.
Because I tell you, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. Amen. In His presence, you're reminded of who you are. And you're reminded of who He is. Amen. And beloved, listen, I'm telling you, John, when John on the Isle of Patmos got in His presence, beloved, he fell at His feet. Amen. He was in the Spirit, the Word of God said on the Lord's day. He wasn't, beloved, crying the blues because he had been mistreated. He was in the Spirit and able to see the glorified Christ. Amen. Because he was in the Spirit in His presence. Psalm 21:6 said, "For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance." I believe with all of my heart tonight that the presence of God in your life, that's why God told Mary, that's why Jesus told Mary, Martha said, "Lord, don't you care that I'm doing all I can, I'm not getting it exactly right, I'm cumbered about with much serving," and Jesus said, listen, he said, "Martha, Martha," he said, "thou art cumbered about with much serving, but Mary had chosen the good part." The good part was getting in the presence of God. She sat at His feet. She heard His word. And Jesus said, "It's not going to be taken away from her." How many's ever heard somebody say something like this? "The devil robbed me." How many's ever heard that? You know what I believe? I believe that's wrong. I don't believe the devil robbed any of us of our joy. I believe we traded it for something else. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. I believe, listen, the presence of God, getting in His presence. Amen. I believe, listen, the old timers would get out in the woods and pray. And they get around the altar and pray. And listen, I believe with all my heart there's ought to be a hunger for the presence of God to get in His presence. And there's joy due to His presence. Joy is the byproduct of obedience. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, if there's an area in our life where we're not being obedient, then we'll lose our joy. Amen? You remember God told, was it Saul, I believe, obedience is better than sacrifice. What's that lowing of the cattle that I hear? They weren't supposed to bring those things back. And God told him that obedience is better than sacrifice. And then there's joy due to His power. The Psalm of David in Psalm 21:1, the Bible said, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice." David knew, beloved, that in his own strength there wasn't much he could accomplish. But he knew that in the strength of his heavenly Father, beloved, he could go down in that valley with 5 smooth stones and a sling and take on that giant, amen, that had defied the armies of Israel. If you read it just right, he defied the God of the armies of Israel, amen. And he let him have it right between the eyes. And he knew something about God's power. People say, "Well, preacher, I'm weak." Well, I'm going to tell you something about our weakness. That's where His strength is made perfect. Amen. There's no shame in being weak. What's the shame of staying there? Amen. Let's get in His presence. Amen. And let God strengthen us. And beloved, to give us that power that we need. There's a joy that results in His praise. The Psalms are full of praise. In Psalm 27:6, "And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Let me tell you something why they call it a sacrifice. Over in the book of Hebrews, it's called a sacrifice of praise. Brother John's touched on this in Sunday school. I'll tell you why it's a sacrifice. Because the flesh don't want to do it. The flesh don't want no part in it. Amen. Oh, thank God, listen, we can get beside of ourselves every once in a while and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who is worthy. In Psalm 32:11, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let them shout for joy and be glad." Psalm 35:27, "That favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified." I love it. Amen. I tell you, that's why we ought to praise Him, Brother Ralph. Because when we're praising Him, we're getting smaller and He's getting bigger. Amen. In the midst of the congregation. Let them shout for joy and be glad that that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. There ought to be joy. Not only, I've given you several things due to his pardon, his protection, his presence, his power in the book of Psalms, joy that results in praise in the book of Psalms, but there ought to be joy due to his people. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me read it to you. In Psalm 42, verse 4, the Bible said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. I'm telling you something right now, beloved. There ought to be something on Sunday morning down in our hearts, amen, that says, hey, it's time to go to the house of God. It's time to meet with the people of God. And it ought to bring joy in our hearts and joy in our lives, beloved, due to his people. In Psalm 105, verse 43, and he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness. Aren't you glad, beloved, listen, that we're his chosen? Aren't you glad we are that royal priesthood, that chosen generation? Aren't you glad that we're a peculiar people, that God has saved us out of this old world, amen, that we might be able to worship and praise his holy name? Then there's joy approaching the throne of God in prayer. Look in Psalm 43 and verse number 4. The Bible said, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight, listen, here was a man that looked forward to getting in the altar. He looked forward to talking to God, amen. Looked forward to making his petitions known unto the Lord. There's joy in approaching the throne of God in prayer. This right here, beloved, listen, is very important tonight. There ought to be joy, joy to fulfill his purpose for our lives. Listen to me carefully. You remember when David sinned. Now listen to me. David sinned more than once. The two that come to my mind right off the top of my head, of course, he sinned with Bathsheba, and then he sinned when he numbered the people, when he rebelled against God. One thing we need to remember tonight, there were more people died as a result of his sin of rebellion than there was as a result of his sin of adultery. Amen? I'm talking about Baptists now. We're pretty good to say adultery. Oh, that's awful. Rebellion, well, that ain't too bad. You know what I mean? Beloved, listen, it is bad when God said it's like witchcraft. Say amen. Whether we're rebelling against God that's right or whatever's going on, beloved, listen. The Bible said in Psalm 51 and verse number 8, this is where David is getting right with God. Many, and I will not argue this point, but many say that Jonathan was David's best friend. Beloved, listen to me carefully. Listen to me. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, I would make the argument that Nathan was his best friend. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The prophet of God was willing to stand toe-to-toe with him, tell him a little story. David got all riled up in his heart, and he got all indignant about the story that he heard, and he responded. You remember the story about the little lamb. A poor man has one little ewe lamb. A rich man's got all kinds of lamb. A traveler comes by, and the rich man kills the poor man's lamb. And that lamb laid down with him and slept with him. It was like a pet to him. Brother Rose, we remember that story in the Word of God. Old David swelled up. He said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, the man that's done this thing shall surely die. Amen. Nathan, that man of God, said, thou art the man. Knowing, I believe full well, Brother Rose, that the same king that had Uriah killed could have had him killed just as easily. But he was willing, beloved, just like John the Baptist, to shake that finger and say, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. It's not lawful. He was willing to stand for what's right, regardless of what it cost him. And I say that's a friend that's willing to stand toe to toe
I thank God for our deacons. I thank God we don't have anybody around here like Diotrephes that wants the preeminence, that wants it all for themselves. Amen. But I tell you what, I thank God for the day, if I get wrong, that one of these men could stand toe-to-toe with me and say, Pastor, this is not right. Amen. That's what it takes. Amen. That's what it takes. There was joy in approaching the throne of God, but then there's joy in fulfilling His purpose. Notice what the Word of God said. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness. David had lost something, Brother Cold. He knew what it was to hear from God. He hadn't heard now in a little over a year. The Bible said he covered it up, but the thing which David did displeased the Lord. He got it all covered up and smoothed over. He said, nobody don't know now, but he forgot. Hey, somebody knows everything. And I tell you, beloved, listen, when Nathan came to him and David realized, there's a God in heaven that's got my number. I'm telling you, beloved, he repented of his sin. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness. He said, that the bounds which thou hast broken may rejoice. Brother Gary, I believe he looked just like he always did. Nobody could tell the difference. But on the inside, he was torn all to pieces because he knew he had sinned against God. And beloved, listen, he said, I know something's gone that I used to have. Oh, good night. Could you imagine what a revival we'd have in America if every child of God that's walking in life without joy would say, I remember when I used to have the joy of God, and get it back. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. In Psalm 51, verse 12, I'm talking about his purpose now, fulfilling his purpose. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with his purpose? Listen to me. You're going to understand in just a minute. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. David had enough sense to know that God didn't save him to live for David. And God didn't save him to live for this world, but God saved him to live for God. God saved him to live for others. He said, God, give me that joy back, and then the purpose that you have in me being alive on planet Earth can be fulfilled. Beloved, we can't fulfill God's purpose for us being here without joy, the joy of God. The Bible said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I'm telling you, listen, if we would determine tonight, I don't know how many people's here, something like 3,000. But anyway, amen. That's evangelistically lying. Amen. Anyway, what if just, Brother Steve, every person in this building tonight determined between now and Christmas, they're going to tell their story to somebody else. Are you saved? How many saved tonight? Sam, are you saved? You got a story, Sam. Your story and my story will have some things in common. There'll be a whole lot of things different about our story. What if every one of us tonight determined, God, I'm here. I want that joy. I want to tell my story. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story, most precious. I believe you ought to tell it, beloved. Listen, for one thing, it'll help you. And for another thing, it'll help others. Amen. I want you to listen to this. George Bernard Shaw, he said, this is true joy in life. Being used for the purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one and being thoroughly worn out before your throne on the scrap heap. I thought about, Brother John, what you said this morning about all them new cars. They're going to end up in the scrap pile, in the junk pile somewhere. They'll get what parts they can off of them, and then there'll come a day when they'll say, just crush it and give me the money for whatever's left. Just crush it, recycle it, get rid of it. I'm telling you something tonight. What if we, beloved, listen, would determine that before we get put on the scrap heap, we'd like to do what God wants us to do, that we might be able to say with Paul, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Oh, beloved friend, joy in fulfilling his purpose. He said, being thoroughly worn out before you're thrown on the scrap heap, being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. Beloved, God has a purpose, not in the world making us happy, but in us sharing Christ with others, sharing the joy of God's salvation with others. I give you this tonight, and I'm done. Joy. What we say here, there's a pardon that ought to bring joy, a protection, a presence, a power that ought to bring joy. There's praise as a result of his joy. There's the people of God that ought to bring joy. Prayer ought to bring joy. His purpose for our lives ought to bring joy. One of the happiest men in this building tonight is Brother Coulter. You want to know why? Because he's already determined in his heart that there's something better than a dollar bill. There's something better than what this world has. And that's the will of God for his life. Y'all pray for me because I'm going to be getting a call and they're going to be wanting a recommendation. I just don't know if I can recommend him or not. I've got so many question marks. Y'all know I'm kidding, don't you? But I'm going to miss him. That's a good place to miss him to, is the mission field. Somebody help me tonight. Know where he's at. I remember telling Brother Danny one time, Brother Cole, I said, Brother Danny, I know I ain't never here. He said, I know you're doing what God wants you to do. Don't you worry about that. You just do what God wants you to do. I'd come in every once in a while, pop in the service, say, what'd you do that for? To rest. Because if I went to a church that supported me, they wanted me to preach. I didn't get the rest unless I went to my home church. And sometimes I didn't get the rest there. Because I'd be so full, Brother Cole, I'd just be rejoicing, amen. This old flesh will get tired rejoicing, amen, in the good things of God. I'd get to tell them about them men that got saved, amen. Tell them about somebody got saved on the way or on the way back, amen. It's so full. There's joy. Joy fulfilling his purpose. And I give you this and I'm done. There's joy due to his promise. You say, preacher, what has he promised? I'm glad you ask. Listen to Psalm 30, verse number 5. A while ago, I mentioned individuals. I didn't mention them by name. But after you pastor a church 7 years, you know there are people who got heavy hearts through the Thanksgiving season and through the Christmas season. But listen to this verse. The Bible said, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Listen to this promise. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God promised, Brother Ralph, there's a joy coming in the morning. Some of the longest nights I've ever spent in this world were spent in a hospital. It didn't seem like the sun was ever going to come up. And I want you to know, children of God, God has promised the sun's coming up in the morning. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, God has made you and I a promise that ought to make our heart overflow, Sister Anita, with joy so that it would run out in the saucer and somebody else could get a sip of what's going on in our heart. Psalm 65:13 said, the pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Think about that. You remember, I don't remember the story exactly, but over there where they was praising the Lord, Brother Steve, and Jesus told them, he said if these would hold their peace, he said the rocks would cry out. You remember that? And here the psalmist said, listen, down there in the valley, the corn's praising him and singing, amen. I thought you had to wait on the millennium to get that. But according to what the Bible said, even nature groans and travails. It's like us. Sometimes we're groaning, but every once in a while, God will let us praise Him along the way. Hallelujah. The Bible said, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. It reminded me when I read that of this text. It is a favorite of mine. This is describing the condition when Jesus is ruling and reigning in the millennial kingdom. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, 12, and 13, listen to this promise. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Verse number 12, for ye shall go out with joy. Hallelujah. The word of God said, and you shall be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You wonder what they're going to be a-saying and what they're going to be a-singing. But it might have something to do with that's him. Maybe they're saying, Brother Colt, he's worthy. He's worthy. We waited a long time to be delivered from this curse. And now, beloved, the lion can lay down with the lamb. You can have a rose without a thorn. And now there's no more death and no more pain and no more sorrow. Now we'll just praise him the way we wanted to all along. The Bible said, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. There ought to be joy when we think about his promise. He's coming. Beloved, he's coming. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to Christmas. I've already had Christmas in November. I was showing Brother Houston this morning. I took one of my grandsons hunting on Wednesday evening. And he shot an 8-pointer. You say, preacher, how far did it go? How far its legs was, that far to the ground. That's how far he went. Amen. Tickled me to death. Then I took my little 9-year-old grandson Thanksgiving evening. And he shot his first deer, Brother Steve. His mama looked at the picture. I took a few pictures of him with his deer. And his mama said, he never smiles for pictures. But I can show you, Brother Gary, he's grinning from ear to ear, buddy. He's a happy camper. I've already had Christmas in November, amen. What a blessing to be able to spend time with your kids and your grandkids. What a blessing to be able to sit down at Miss Eve's table. It's a blessing, amen. It's a blessing. I said it's a blessing. We don't deserve it, amen. But God has been so good to us. We ought to think about the promise that one day he's coming. And when he comes, beloved, he's going to make it right. Amen. The church will go out. There'll be 7 years of tribulation. First 3.5 will be peace. The next 3.5 will be hell on earth. But then he's coming. Out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. And beloved, we're the victors. We're on the winning side. Amen. We're on the winning side. That ought to bring so much joy because he has promised he's coming again. And we know what he's going to do when he comes. And what a blessing that is. How many's glad you come tonight? I appreciate you coming. Listen, John said that our joy may be full. May God fill us up. May God fill us up. I said may God fill us up. There's a lot of things in this world that breaks our hearts. But may God fill us up with his joy. We need that. Somebody we're going to encounter, you know, they're going to need that. Somebody at the Walmart, you know, the smelly Walmart shoppers. I'm one of them, amen. I don't always wear deodorant, so sometimes I'm smelly. I'm just kidding. Amen. the people, this world looks down on us. That's all right. I'd rather have a little bit of common sense as all their education. Amen. Their education's keeping them from God. A little bit of common sense will tell you, you're the sinner he said you are. And he's the Savior he said he is. And you'll figure out you need him. We need him tonight. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight.